entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hey everyone, this is Justin from Australia. I fucked your fucking sister's face today. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking bitches.
Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood. Don't worry, baby, your credit is good. Everybody's clocking you around the hood.
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
No,
you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Yes, welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. Right here on Hear Us Talk, that's HearUsTalk.com. It's the DJ New Style Show. We'll be back in just a little bit. Gotta let our German friends rock your fucking faces off of your skulls. Who are they? Oh, you should get to know them. Rammstein! Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. There it is. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the DJ New Style Show. Check out DJNewStyleShow.com. Download our older shows. They're old, but they're still shows. So you should download them, because we've recorded them and put them there. And we're putting this one right there now. The one we're creating at this point, episode 207. And when I say we, I mean me, DJ New Style. You can call me Ken. We can be e-pals and friends and everything that's good. And of course, our bald fuckface friend, Frank the Germ Freak. How are you, buddy? I didn't mean I didn't mean to go mean with you right off the bat.
I want to thank you for those words of endearment. I appreciate it.
Terms of endearment?
Yes.
Bald fuckface isn't necessarily a term of endearment, but you know,
I know you like the word fuckface. That's your, when you get very angry, that's usually your word of choice, is calling people fuckface.
It is. It's my go-to. When I need to get somebody, when I need to sting somebody and really point out that they are truly not good or something I don't like, they become a fuckface. That's what I use. You have to have one. Everybody does. Everybody has their little go-to phrase. What's yours? I think it's yours is pretty much whatever you just heard someone call you, but a little fucked up. So, like, if I call you fuckface, you call me like a fuck fist or something like that. Like, you mess it completely up because you're so flustered that you were called a fuckface, but you still want to get somebody back. I don't know, Frank. Are you okay? I mean, you seem a little bit sad. You seem a little bit emotional, downtrodden, and it's becoming the norm. I don't know what's going on. Are you watching a lot of cold or really sad movies? Is it the cold weather? What's the story? Why are you so damn emotional right now?
Well, listen, I've been reading my kids' stories at night.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
I read Lauren and Lukey. I read them a story before they go to bed every night. And I read them a story last night, and it had a really, really hard effect on me to the point where I broke down.
Was this a children's story, or were you reading them something by Salman Rushdie? Like, really, what were you reading them?
I was reading them a story by the entitled The Velveteen Rabbit.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with that story. I believe I read it as a kid.
I had never heard the story before, and I read it to them. And as I was reading it, I broke down and started sobbing because the ending just killed me at the end. I can't even think about it right now.
It's going to make you sad if you hear it?
I don't want – it just
– Well, what happens at the end? Explain what happens at the end.
Well, this boy had a rabbit as a pet.
Yes. He had a rabbit as a pet.
He had a stuffed rabbit as a pet.
It's not really a pet. It's more of a toy when it's a stuffed rabbit. Just want to let you know.
And the rabbit wanted nothing more than to be real. And in order to be real, you had to be loved.
That's true.
So he was eventually loved by the young boy.
Yeah.
But then the young boy developed some type of illness, and the Velveteen Rabbit had to be burned.
He was a real rabbit at last, at home with the other rabbits.
What are you doing? Don't.
What?
Don't read it, please.
Autumn passed, and winter, and in the spring.
No, please.
When the days grew warm and sunny, the boy went out to play in the wood behind the house. And while he was playing, two rabbits crept out from the bracken and peeped at him.
That's who the rabbit reincarnated!
One of them was brown all over, but the other had strange markings under his fur.
That's
as though long ago he had been spotted, and the spot still showed through.
That's the part that broke me down, because this rabbit used to be the pet of the boy, and he went. And now the boy.
And about his little soft nose, and his round black eyes,
please
there was
stop.
Something familiar.
Please stop.
So that the boy thought to himself, "Why he looks." He looks just like my old bunny that was lost when I had scarlet fever. But he never knew that it was really his own bunny.
That's what hurt me so much, because this little
rabbit... He never even knew, Frank.
That's what killed me.
He threw him in the fucking incinerator. Or did he?
He was rescued by an angel, a guardian angel, a fairy.
He was rescued.
So he wasn't put in the incinerator...
But the thing is, this is an unrequited love of sorts. Not necessarily the romantic kind. But they were so close to reuniting. And they never did.
that's what gets me, because they were facing each other, and little did this little boy know that used to be his stuffed animal, and now the rabbit is real and he's for real, and not just.
And can you just for our audience, can you just give us your age?
I'm 38.
So you're 40, and you're crying at the Velveteen Rabbit.
I'm sorry, I can't control my
emotions.
Let's
go through some things that should make a 40-year-old cry. Tax problems, horrible disease, terminal disease, loss of a loved one. Not a fucking Brothers Grimm tale or whoever wrote this shit. Like, really, if you read Hansel and Gretel and the kids got eaten, would that kill you?
It was just the manner in which it was. They were so close yet so far away, and it hurt me to think that the rabbit was going to be just – and the rabbit said to himself, he says, is this what it comes down to? Here I am 1 minute being loved, and this is what my life comes down to? Then what's the point of even being loved in the first place if I'm just going to be fucking thrown out and tossed away?
That's well, Frank, right now. I don't understand why you're sad about this. The fucking kid had scarlet fever. His shit had to be burned. I thought you, if anybody, would think of this to be a great statement, a great story of
all
triumph.
Was,
the fact
had,
that the disease and the filth was being burned and destroyed.
All he had to do was bleach it.
You're a bald man of 40 years, and you're crying at the Velveteen Rabbit in front of your kids. Your kids are trying to have a nice bedtime story, and their father's blubbering over their comforter.
Lauren said to me, Daddy, will you shut up? I don't understand what you're saying.
you couldn't She's even like, get the story my out.
Lauren's like, finish the story already.
So you were reading it to all of them? They were all together?
To Lukey and Lauren.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And then also,
wow.
There was another story that also made me sob. And it was a story, I don't know the name of it, but
the
it was
day
a story
of the empty Purell bottle. The day the last hair fell.
It was a story where this young mother took care of her baby and looked after him as he was growing up. And then it got to the point where the son had to take care of the mother. And there was a picture where the son was cradling the mother in a rocking chair the same way she did to him. And it got me too.
Because you know that'll never happen to you with your kids, because you've creeped them out from crying at fucking nighttime story the nighttime story. Every time something vaguely emotional comes down the pike, you just cry and blubber and sob and really embarrass them. How often are your kids embarrassed by you? Regularly?
I don't think very often. No, they're not embarrassed at all. I mean, every
okay. So know, then, if they went to school and they said, "My father cried while reading the Velveteen Rabbit," they said that to everybody. No one would. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, that happens," right? They wouldn't be ostracized.
I suppose so, but
they absolutely
sure
would. That's the type of fodder that little prick kids like me, when I was 8 years old or whatever, it's exactly what we're looking for. Some kind of just an oddity. Some
much
kind of
ammunition.
A weirdness. Yeah, fodder. It's a mess, Frank, and you shouldn't be blubbering at these things. And also, you shouldn't be telling people. Like, this is something you shouldn't have said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You shouldn't have said that.
I'm sorry.
Because, I don't know, Frank. I mean, when autumn passed, and winter, and in the spring and the day grew warm, and he recognized his little rabbit.
Please stop.
Could that be my bunny?
Please stop.
But he never found out. He never found out. And they both scampered together briefly and then forever apart. Forever apart, Frank. Never to see each other again. Just to think, God, if I ever see that fucking guy who's going to throw me an incinerator, I would totally rabbit fuck his face. Like, really, what kind of a friendship are you going to have? You're going to meet up and say, hey, sorry about the incinerator thing.
Like I said, the part in the story that got me was when the rabbit said to himself, is this what my life has come to? And then when he met the boy at the end, and it just – that was the part that just knocked me over, and I had to excuse myself.
But yet you love history. You like the Discovery Channel and the History Channel, all that thing, because they're factual. It's nonfiction.
Sure.
You learn things from
it. I like nonfiction.
Have you ever cried with tales of the Holocaust when families are being broken up and divided? Did you ever cry at that?
I don't think so.
But a fucking imaginary story about a toy bunny brought to life by fairies. That brings you to tears. Not an actual tragedy. Not an actual separation that has happened. Time and time again. But a fucking velveteen rabbit. That's what rocks your world down to the fucking foundation. Am I right?
You know what? You can't control what you're going to... what's going to get into your heartstrings.
Yeah. And maybe this is exactly why you don't like nonfiction. You say it's because you can't learn anything, it didn't happen, but I think you're more affected by things, by the impossible. You're more affected and emotionally moved by fiction than nonfiction, because you look at nonfiction as stuff that you learn. You're emotionally detached from it. But this nonfiction shit, fucking fairies, bears, and Goldilocks, all that shit, You kind of draw some you know, your guard is down, you connect with it, and you're afraid of that, so you discount it as tomfoolery, and you keep yourself away from it. I think we had a breakthrough today, Frank. I think that's it for the DJ show today. A ripe 18 minutes. I don't know. So you were crying.
Well, let me ask you that question regarding the Holocaust. Does that stuff make you cry when you see historical things like that? Does that stuff make you cry?
If I can see it from the perspective of family, people telling it firsthand, secondhand maybe, because of their parents or something, and I see people being moved to tears by, you know, telling their tale.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I can. But when I'm just reading about it and it's presented in a very, in a manner like a textbook, no, it's not that emotionally draining to me. A lot of those things, a lot of the things in history. It's just not, because it's presented so poorly. But when there's a personal touch to it, yeah. But you won't also see me crying at the fucking Velveteen Rabbit. Now, My Girl, wow, now that's a movie that'll bring me to tears, though.
So little, you admit that.
Little Thomas J, he can't see without his glasses. He can't see without his glasses. It's fucking terrible, Frank.
I never saw the film, so I can't comment.
I do watch a lot of TV, so I mean, I see it from time to time. You know, the movies are on TBS or the movie channel or whatever. You'll catch it there. But in between, since I'm basically an insomniac, I catch a lot of the commercials on TV for products, the infomercials, and some of these made for TV products, they grab me, and I've never bought them. In recent times, until just recently, when I just bought two. I bought two products from TV, and I think you know of one of them.
Well, one of them,
but one you don't know,
right? One of them, you told us that you purchased a smoothie maker, but you know, you should mention the bad experience you had at your deli with the smoothie. Didn't you have is that one of the reasons why you bought your own smoothie maker?
It's part. You know what? It's part of it. I go to the same bagel place every morning. Every morning they knock it out of the park. It's a fucking perfect bagel, to the point where whenever I hear somebody say, "Oh, you gotta try my fucking the bagel drawer in Mattawan or whatever fucking bagel place," they always have a terrible name, like the bagel bin or whatever. "You gotta try the bagels from here, bro. You don't even know." Blah blah blah. Blah. I'll bring in a dozen of my bagels. And I call them mine because I'm on this team now, because I go there every fucking day. I consider myself a part of the team because I'm wasting all my money there.
Do they give you discounts?
No, they don't. They're one of the only places that that hasn't given me a discount for being a regular customer. But you know what? It's worth it because the bagels are that good. So I bring them in, and everybody's usually impressed. They do incredible things with bagels. So I think, okay, they're really good with breakfast sandwiches, bagels, and the lot. Why don't I branch out, get a smoothie? I see they have smoothies on the menu. And I say, I'll have a mango smoothie. The guy goes, "What?" I go, "Mango smoothie." And I'm pointing up and looking up at the menu. He goes, "Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Sure. No problem." And I didn't put it together until he looked around in a little freezer. And he said, "We're out of mango. We don't have mango." I'm like, "Fine, I'll take strawberries." He's like, "Fine, whatever." So I go and I get my my bagel and shit. And I look over and I see that he's got like a bottle of fruit juice on the counter and he's got a blender full of ice. I'm like, well, okay, maybe he's just going to put that in there as a, you know, some kind of a supplement to the mango. I don't know.
Like a base.
Like a base, some kind of a base. Yeah, exactly. Something.
That's what I said.
Something to get the fruitiness in there, some kind of a sweet taste.
Get the flow going.
Get it fucking moving, you know? So I'm like, this is fantastic. They're even efficient with their fucking smoothies. So I can't wait till they put that in there. They put the frozen fruit in and they give me the drink.
And you were your lips were probably smacking anticipating.
Oh, I was looking. I was looking at it, man. I was ready to go. And then I looked away, and then all of a sudden I hear the little clap of the lid going on the blender. And I look over. All I see is ice and fruit juice.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't see any fucking fruit in the thing. Now I'm thinking, okay, maybe this will be good. I don't know. I'm looking at the little poster they've had there. I've been eyeing this fucking poster with the nice pictures of the smoothies, and I'm contemplating having a fucking falling down moment where I'm going to, you know, grab them by the collar, point at the fucking poster, and say, does this look like that? Look at the poster. It's practically overflowing the sides, nice and thick and brightly colored. But I don't. I take this like a fucking sap. I in grabbing the smoothie from the guy's hand, I spill it by moving it. It's that fucking loose of a liquid. It's basically like a little bit of fruit juice with like a few fucking chunks of ice floating at the top and then a big fucking ball of ice at the bottom. It was the worst thing I've ever had, and I ate all of it, but whatever. So now I'm thinking, you know what, I could do a better fucking smoothie than that, and I don't have to pay fucking $4 for it. Which was the pain in the ass. $4 for fucking, you know, iced fruit juice, which is what I had. So I bought this thing. I don't even know what it's called. It's a fucking smoothie maker from QVC. I bought that. It's not an infomercial item, but I bought it. And it's goddamn good. Let me tell you, I made some good fucking smoothies, Frank. Good ones.
You know, I did that
to
as
the
well.
To the point where today, while walking my dog, I went out with my leash for my dog in one hand and a travel mug in the other filled with smoothie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
As I'm walking down the fucking sidewalk. And about 30 seconds into the walk, the dog shits. So now I'm trying to drink smoothie and carry a bag of shit. So, you know, that didn't really work out. I figured I'd have a nice jaunt and enjoy an extension to my dinner.
I sort of did the same thing with the Starbucks. I purchased my own latte and cappuccino maker. For the first month or so, yeah. I was really enjoying it. But then after a while, I couldn't be bothered anymore, and it didn't taste the same as Starbucks.
And you went back to it. You mentioned this, I think, on the show that you actually got the latte maker, espresso machine, whatever. And you're this is it, Ken.
Right.
I'm done with Starbucks. And then, literally 7 days later, I'm back at Starbucks.
I even bought one of those big round mugs that they utilize.
You bought the mug just so that you can have that feel that it is actually a Starbucks drink.
Right, right.
Amazing.
So this other thing that you purchased.
It's a product as seen on TV.
Now, should I guess at it?
You should probably guess. Do you have... I'll answer. Let's do the yes or no question thing.
Okay,
and see if you can come up with it.
Is it something for your health to make you healthier?
I'm gonna say no. No, it is not.
Is it something for your automobile?
No, it is not.
Is it a food product?
No, it is not.
Oh boy! Is it something that would be classified a beauty aid?
Yes.
Is it a beauty aid?
Yes.
Excuse me.
It would be classified as that, sure.
Oh boy.
But it isn't. In my estimation, it
is. Is this something for your skin?
Yes.
Oh Christ. Wow.
Yeah.
Is it some type of moisturizer?
No, it is not.
Is it a cream?
No, it is not.
Is it something that removes blemishes?
I guess you could say that.
Did
you
buy that Proactiv?
No, I did not buy Proactiv. That is strike one. You've named a product, and it is incorrect. It is not proactive.
Did you buy something to make your beard more fuller?
No, I did not.
Could you give me a hint?
I've given you fucking hints. For fuck's sake. Let's see.
I give up.
It repairs skin blemishes. It is not a cream. I'll tell you this. It is a physical device.
A zit puller outer?
It is not a zit related
physical
product.
Physical device that takes care of your skin.
It is not like a zit related like product. Let's go to the phones. 316-768-44. 7-2.
You're there.
You're on the DJ News Style Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's VM Messenger. What's up?
VM Messenger, what's going on, buddy?
What's up? I just want to say, Wes, originally from Virginia, now lives in... originally from Tennessee, now lives in Virginia.
Yes. Okay, Wes, what's going on, buddy?
I would like to take a guess on what you purchased.
I would suggest that you be careful, because it's very difficult. Please take your guess.
Did you purchase the petty egg, the foot thing, the little egg that shaves the calluses off your feet?
There you go, buddy! I purchased a fucking petty egg!
Oh, my...
Oh, yeah!
Why? Oh,
yeah!
Are you a ho... What the fuck? Men don't care about their feet, you homo!
If you've ever seen my feet, Frank... You would know why I bought the petty egg.
That's funny, because last night I was talking to you on the phone, and you said to me, Frank, my feet are smooth.
I wanted to gross you out. Thank you very much, Wes. You get no prizes because you're a horrible person. Thank you for calling the show.
Guys don't care about their feet. The feet is the last thing guys give a shit about.
That's right. However, my girlfriend, who's repulsed by seeing my feet, suggested the petty egg to me at one point, and I noticed it. I noticed it for purchase, and I picked it up.
Explain what the petty egg is.
Now, the petty egg, Frank, in case you don't know, it's like a cheese grater for your feet. It has a metal blade with tons of little nubs on it, and the nubs are holes. And the skin falls through the holes and collects into this fucking bin.
God.
And when I see you, I will have this filled, and I will dump it in your fucking house. I will find a way to leave my foot scales in your house. Like somebody sprinkling ashes into the Atlantic. I'll just fucking broadcast this thing into your house.
Do you have that? I mean, are your feet are that scaly? I mean, they're that crusty?
I have calluses, and this thing grinds them right down.
You sit all day.
I'm not in a wheelchair, you fuck, and I don't sit all day. I walk, I run, I do a lot of shit. I do a lot of shit, and I have tons of calluses on my feet. But not anymore, bitches. Nice and smooth on the edges. Thanks to the petty egg.
Now, have you filled that up yet? Have you filled that bacteria trap up yet?
I was going mad with this thing, scrubbing every little rough spot on my foot, like basically filing down an amazing callus. And I'm like, okay, this fucking thing's going to be filled. And there's like a little pile of dust in it. So, I mean, to fill it up,
you
have to have some
it?
Fucking
Did you
heinous.
Smell it?
If you smelled it, Frank, you'd be snorting the dust. It's that fine. It's finer than Parmesan cheese.
Oh.
And it looks like Parmesan cheese. And I'm going to save it all, and I am going to put it in your car or something. I will make sure that you... Because you're not a fan of feet, are you?
No, I don't like feet.
What if I was to bring a salt shaker... filled with petty egg dust.
Ugh.
And leave it on your kitchen table when Donna decides to make fucking waffle fries. This tastes like cheesy waffle fries. Yeah.
Do you do your elbows as well?
No, I don't do my elbows. The feet are the main thing because they look disgusting when you have the calluses. So I wanted to, you know, whittle them down.
When a man has calluses on his feet, it makes him look rugged and like he's a worker. A man doesn't want to have smooth feet.
But they're disgusting. I have dry skin. I could rip them off. I used to take a nail clipper to cut them off. And just get them down to a normal level.
Remind me never to make sure I ever see your feet as long as I live, because I'm just nauseous.
My feet are amazing now. I'm not going to show them to you.
I don't really care.
And the only reason I said my feet are smooth is to plant the seed that it might be a product for feet. Because when you said, let's see if I can guess it, I didn't think that you would. I honestly had a feeling you wouldn't guess what the product was, because I don't think that you're that aware of things. It took a man like VA Messenger to call in and nail it right away. And I bet you he's the guy who owns a Petty Egg. Fucking believe you me. He's probably
well, he walks around barefoot all the time, so he must have terrible calluses.
Yeah, I bet you. I bet he does. But maybe he doesn't want to file them away. I mean, that's like your fucking shoe at that point. That is like your shoe. I don't know. Have you what's the last product you bought on TV? You bought the
I bought Kuvray.
Oh, that was that the hair thing?
It was a hair thickener.
Yeah.
Called Kuvray.
I did buy the Proactive though, but not recently, like years ago. And then it blew up. And it didn't really work. I mean, it basically brought out every pimple you were ever going to have all at once. And if, as long as you kept using it, your skin would be clear. But the minute you stopped, your skin that doesn't know how to exfoliate would just be fucked up again. And that's it. But you never had that problem, did you, Frank?
Thank God.
Thank God. Knocking on, what are you knocking on, wood?
I don't know if it would be wood, probably formica.
Yeah. Why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude.
That's why we might as well take our time.
Huh? Oh. What's good? You're listening to The Chill Spot for Hotties. I'm your host, Alex Webbs. You might have been wondering where I've been at. I haven't been doing the show, and in case you haven't seen the thread I posted on the forum requesting, like, well wishes and stuff, you know, then you probably don't know that I've been visiting in Israel. It was a great place, with great people and great women. But, trip was awesome. You know what I mean? I met a girl there. She's really cool. And I spent my entire 6-day budget of $213 on fishbowl margaritas. And, well, you could pretty much say we're in love, you know? Let's just say that Alex Webbs is no longer a virgin. But anyway, enough of all this panty dropper talk. Let's take a quick call. You're on The Chill Spot for Hotties.
Revolution, man!
Oh, yeah, it's my buddy Josh. What up, Josh? Tell us about the trip.
What?
Why don't you tell us about the resort?
Revolution, man! Fight the power!
All right, man. Take care. Next caller. Oh, look, it's my baby girl. What's good, Ma? You're on The Chill Spot for Hotties. I'm Alex Webbs. Ashley.
Hello?
Yeah, what's good?
Who is this?
It's your boy, Alex Webbs.
I don't remember you. Where do you know me from?
It's Alex, you know. Smiles. Like I smile a lot, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh, you're the guy who won't stop tagging all of my Facebook pictures that feature you in the background?
Yeah, that's it, baby. When are we gonna kick it next, you know?
Never.
Well, that's all the time we got for The Chill Spot, for Hotties. You know, it's just all hotties all over this show tonight. We got Russian techno and, like, you know, hotties. So, like, you know what I'm saying? All right, I'm gonna go to the gym, so I'll see you next time. Later. All right, cut it.
Revolution, man.
Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. As I said before, download things. Enjoy them. Give them to your friends. They'll either hate you or just not care. But that's all right. Welcome back. Frank, how are you?
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Amazing. Did you have a nice little quick break there?
Yes.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Me too. You know, we got so much in common, Frank. We do. I think when it comes to other people, we do have some similar thoughts as far as how we'd like them to end up in life.
Yes.
We don't necessarily want people to win.
No.
We love
I don't.
The misfortune of others. I'm not speaking to you anymore, Frank. I just want to let you know. You don't have to agree.
I apologize.
When I say we now, I'm speaking about us, for us.
Humanity.
To them. To them about us. Humanity and their misfortune. All the people in this world and their bad luck. I love it. I love it, and sometimes I wish for it. Do you ever find yourself in a situation where you hope for someone to fall into bad luck?
Yes.
What's a typical situation?
My most common one is when I see people on the side of the road, getting out of their car. You know, they're pulled over on the shoulder of the road, getting out of their car, and they're standing in the back of their car. You know, getting something from the trunk.
Yeah.
Or rearranging their fucking luggage.
And they're on the side. They're on the side of the road, and they're just, you know, they don't even care. They're just maybe in the shoulder. They're rooting around their trunk, making sure something's tied up on the roof.
And it's those people I wish will get rammed by a fucking automobile up their ass. I hate those people. They deserved to die.
Now, I don't necessarily want the people to die. I don't go that far. Maybe
they deserve to be taught a lesson. Maybe for the stupidity.
Here's what I'm thinking is maybe they get out of the driver's side, they walk around to go adjust the mirror on the passenger side by hand, and all of a sudden their car gets swiped out by a tractor trailer. You shouldn't have been stopped there. You've learned your lesson and you're still alive. That's what I hope for. You actually want them to get crushed to death.
I want them to be taught a lesson. And the only way that they'll be taught a lesson is if there's a casualty. and unfortunately, that casualty may sacrifice their life, but perhaps other people will learn from their lesson.
Okay, well, what if it's not something that they can control? Like, they have a blowout. Their tires pop. They go to the side of the road. They don't have a cell phone. They figure, I'm going to change my tire. Hopefully, you know, nothing goes wrong.
You wait for the authorities to arrive. You wait for help. But what just sit there and wait. Listen, don't give me this crap.
What if they've waited and then they just do it?
What? Listen to me, big boy. Don't give me this crap that they don't have a cell phone. Because 10 years ago, people didn't have cell... Well, 20 years ago, people didn't have cell... 30 years ago, people didn't have cell phones. And you just sit there waiting for... You wait for the...
You can keep adding numbers. It's okay. I think what you can't do is eventually you can't subtract numbers. Like you could say 1,000 years ago they didn't have cell phones. You don't have to keep revising the figure and adding more.
Well, 1,000 years ago they didn't have automobiles as well, Einstein. So you really can't go back into the Model T Ford back in 1902.
I understand, Frank. I'm basically pointing out something stupid that you did. But the thing is, you want people that you know have no other way of getting help. To die. They try to help themselves. Maybe they get over as far as they can.
Who are like going on a vacation and they're rearranging their luggage in their fucking trunk.
Yeah.
There's no need for that. There's no need for that.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Sink, you mighty cock bitch. Let me ask Frank a question.
Yes, please do, Sink. Thank
you. You're pulled over. You have a flat tire. And you don't have a cell phone. Are you telling me, as a 40-year-old man, a father of children, you're not going to get out and change your own fucking tire? You're going to wait for the authorities?
No, what I'm saying is as follows. If I do choose to do that and I get hit by an automobile, it's my own fault.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
But the thing is... The person hitting you isn't going to get off scot-free. Don't you understand that? It's not like the cop says, yeah, show that motherfucker. Show that unfortunate guy who ran over a nail that he shouldn't be helping himself. Fuck him, truck driver.
Now, what and these people should do life. Is they should drive past the shoulder, go onto the grassy knoll.
What if, they're by the sound barrier?
Well, then you're fucked.
Okay, well, what if
then
they...
you're fucked.
Now, what if they make every effort? They even put their car right up next to the guardrail, scrape their paint, they get as close as they can, and then they do it. Do you still want them to die?
I don't...
And I'm, think wisely, because this is going to happen to you now. You I realize want, that, right?
Listen, there's a difference between the people who are fixing their car because of car problems. A sink, are you still with us?
He is.
I think. What? How do you feel about those? The people who are like just going to their trunk, rearranging things. Do you think? I mean, is that? What do you think of that?
Don't pull over to the road to go rearrange your trunk or grab your sack so you can load another bowl. But if your car's broken down and you're driving on the interstate, watch the fuck out.
Yeah.
Just don't hit some jackass who pulled over on the shoulder.
It's a necessary thing, Frank. They need to fix their car so they can get off the road so they're not a fucking obstacle for people.
I get douche chills when I see those well-prepared drivers with the fucking flares and those little triangle things.
Oh, yeah,
triangle reflectors.
Those fucking people buy the book in the fucking driver's ed class. Always have your triangle reflectors
flares?
And your flares. They are pretty bad. They are pretty fucking mad. But... yeah, I don't think I've ever had them in any car that I've driven in.
I also get angry at individuals, parents, who, and in most cases, you know, well, I don't want to say, but in a lot of cases,
and by the way,
thank you,
Sink, for calling in.
Yes.
He hung up. So the parents, go ahead.
I notice that a lot of times they may be foreigners, but there are parents today who still do not keep their kids in car seats. And on occasion, I will see somebody with a child cradled in her arms in the front seat. And I will see this occasionally from time to time. Have you ever seen this, Kenny?
I have seen that. But so now you're saying that you think something should happen to the woman?
I think that, and people are going to condemn me for this, but I think they need to be taught a lesson. And I think it would serve them right if... if, dare I say?
You may as well.
If they crash into something, it would serve them right. It would teach them a lesson.
It would teach them a lesson if they lived, because they lost their child, I guess you're saying, so that they'll never lose another child. Is that really the punishment they deserve? See, I started this off in agreement with you that I want people to feel a little misfortune, but now you're commanding.
Scenario? How should somebody handle the situation? If you see a woman with her kid in her arms in the front seat, do you think anything should happen to this?
I would hope that someday that person goes through a windshield on their own. I hope they live. I don't want them to die.
I never said I want them to die. I never said anybody I want to die.
No, you said death is the only thing that... Yes, you did.
Not in this situation.
Oh, now you're going to backpedal, motherfucker.
I want to retract...
There's no coaster brakes on this bitch. You can't backpedal, motherfucker.
Listen to me. I want to retract my statement. I don't wish death upon anybody. I was being outrageous, and I apologize to God.
You should.
Please, God. I beg of you, God. Please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay,
all right.
No, let's not turn this into a holy show here.
If you have
something that irritates you...
I think they should be taught a lesson.
Oh, you
I
just go ahead. Just fucking ramble and try to correct your fucking dumb self. Okay.
I think they should get... Keep your fucking yap shut until I finish.
I was doing a fucking plug for the fucking phone number, you bald dope. But no, you had to go, I made a dumb point. Let me correct it. Okay.
316-768-4472.
Do you have something that you see that you can't stand? You want the person committing this act to have some kind of a horrible fate just so that they never do it again. Do you ever get this feeling? Call the show. 316-768-4472. So now you've said before somebody... With kids just not in seatbelts or car seats, they're just running around the fucking rear deck.
Right, I think they should
very
get into
irresponsible.
An accident, get into an accident, maybe get hurt, but no death.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what you're saying in that situation. But what about the people that when they break down, they decide I'm just gonna have a fucking picnic on the median? They take out all this shit and they fucking just sit there and play soccer on the fucking median. That you know somebody has a fucking hibachi grill set up.
Oh.
Like really. What should happen to them?
I think their car should at the minimum is their car should be totaled. minimum.
Their car should be totaled, but you know,
have you ever pulled
in the middle
to the
of a happy median barbecue?
I know there have been times where you've driven where you were to the point where you were going to fall asleep, and you've driven and you've pulled off to the side of the road.
Yes.
Do you ever fear like that you're just going to be creamed up by like a fucking 18-wheeler or something
like
that?
Yeah, it is a tremendous fear, but again, whenever I pull off, I always pull off at a spot where there's grass, where I can move from the shoulder to the gravel to the fucking grass and just go there. The place where people abandon cars, basically. They put that fucking red flag on the back, and then they just fucking leave it there and go along on their way. I go up there and I sleep to the point where I can get back to normal and continue on my way. Or I'll do the same thing if I have to urinate and I'm on a very fucking long drive. I can't get out and piss because, you know, you don't want to be seen pissing, so I have to piss on the sly.
Well, because of your dick.
Because what?
Because of your small dick?
Because it's a crime.
Oh, oh.
Not because you love to imagine what size my dick is. But because I have a Starbucks cup, I have an open window, and the road is my, you know, piss garbage. Piss can, my piss filter. It's where I can throw the piss.
Just a couple.
And I don't have to be seen as committing a crime.
If I may just indicate some more of my misfortunes.
What are some things that you see that you feel should be severely punished?
I feel that people who are in traffic jams and drive on the shoulder in order to get through the traffic, I think that they should have something very bad happen to them.
Those are the people that should die. Those are the fucking people that should die. Those people that feel like, you know what? I'm just going to cut everybody off so I can cause more fucking traffic getting back in five cars up. It makes no sense. It's some little relief for them, I guess, to be moving for a little while. But it's just fucking hideous because it keeps perpetuating the slowdown. You know, they're creating more of a fucking problem, and it's going to go back and back and back, and they never fucking think about that, and they should be killed. There should be snipers on overpasses taking these people out the minute they hit the fucking shoulder. Don't fuck around. Get some stadies up on the goddamn overpass with fucking rifles. Take them out.
Ken, have you ever done that in your lifetime? Have you ever driven on the shoulder to get ahead?
On occasion.
You son of a bitch.
I have, but I've seen the error of my ways, Frank. Another thing is very similar is when you're driving on a highway, there's no traffic, but you need to get an exit, and there's traffic for that exit. Do you wait in the long line, Frank? Or do you try to weasel your way in?
I'm guilty of weaseling.
You should be taken out by the new form brigade of rifle arm state troopers.
What you do
is
going
to be executing citizens for doing this.
Rather than waiting in that long line of cars trying to exit, I'll go to the lane right to the left of them and drive up, and I look for a driver who's not paying attention, like an old lady or something, and I'll just get, and they usually leave like a big space between that car and the car in front of them, and I'll go right in. I'll worm my way right into them.
I'll admit that I have done that because it's like, you know, it's an ungodly amount of cars, and I'm in a rush.
And so my time is valuable.
I admit that I've done that, but every time I've done it, I've always felt guilty, so I've made sure that someone always saw me go, Oh, this is my exit! Oh my god, I can't believe it! And then I put the fucking signal on and I go in. So at least they think that I've made a mistake. Even though I completely and willfully did that. 316-768-4472. That's 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ed McGrath.
Ed McGrath, how are you, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, my pet peeve, and I think the fucking people that should be taken out of their cars and strung up by their nutsacks are these fucking self-righteous cocksuckers that fucking drive in the left lane to fucking slow down traffic because, oh, you shouldn't be going too fast. Hey, Frank, do you know about those cocksuckers?
Hey, fuckface, if you're going the speed limit, there's nothing
you're
doing wrong.
Oh, no, Frank, no!
If you're going the speed limit, there's nothing you're doing wrong, dick
no!
Ding.
There is something you're doing wrong. You're
driving the left lane all the time.
You're
not 65.
No.
How dare somebody put their fucking high beams on me if I'm going to speed limit?
Frank, you are doing something wrong, and you could be pulled over because you're supposed to always stay as far
right
as you can.
Keep right, except to pass. Why don't you
fucking
follow that rule, you dickbag?
Hey, fuck, Brett. Listen to me. If I'm going to speed limit, what the fuck's the matter what lane I'm in? Ding dong, Brett.
Right.
Why is it always Brett
to pass? That's
and nobody
law.
Else is a bang fuck that fuck hate. Breath. Nobody else is abiding by that.
Oh my God, you're obsessed. Ed called you out on something that you do, like you're some kind of a fucking enforcer of the speed limit. You're still doing something wrong.
If I'm going
and you're
speed limit,
so
there's...
much better than everybody else, and you're still a fucking exit cutter.
Do you make fucking citizens arrests fucking driving 65 in the left lane? Is that what you do?
God damn it, that's funny.
Ed,
he got you.
I don't know
where
your problem is.
He fucking got you. Thank you very much for calling, Ed. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. See, he fucking got you. You are that prick.
Nobody got me. Nobody got
you're
me.
That
nobody
prick
gets me.
Who thinks,
nobody got me.
Who thinks that everybody should be the same speed that you are going. I bet when you speed and you go 80 miles an hour, if someone goes 90, you're like, look at this maniac! Whoa! What's he doing? This goddamn fucking truck! I can't even make a YouTube because of the fucking barrier and the fucking road! Frank, I don't know.
You know what? Something else that pisses me off as well, and I know this is happening out there, I know this is happening,
all right.
Is when ambulance drivers are not in an emergency, and they'll put their fucking lights on to go through a red light. I know they're doing it. I know they're doing it. Don't deny it. It's always an emergency.
But you want them to be killed for doing that.
I want them to be fired from their job, and I want them to have their wages garnished.
So every police officer
are you aware
in the ambulance.
They're doing that? Has that ever crossed your mind?
I'm sure it's happened, but you have to believe that when these people are driving, it's not like they're trying to go to fucking their friend Ricky's house so they can go play PS3. They're doing their fucking job, you dope.
Not be so sure about that, because in Lakewood, New Jersey, there was an ambulance drivers who were video surveillance, doing donuts in the fucking ambulance, okay? So,
right, that's pretty
so
awesome,
don't be so
though.
Sure that. A new style.
I don't know. It would be pretty hard to resist trying to do that donut with an ambulance. If I had my hands on an ambulance, I would do the same thing.
I will not let those people pass me. I know when there's not an emergency. And the way you know is because if they're driving...
You're not going to let a police officer pass you.
Listen to me.
How the fuck are you going to make that happen?
Will you listen to me? If they're driving and they're driving regularly and they don't have their lights on, they don't have their sirens on, and all of a sudden they put their sirens on because it's a red light, I will not let them pass.
Ugh. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. But I can kind of see that with I guess city sponsored vehicles, like maybe the ambulance and the police officer, I think they need a little leeway because they're doing some shit that I don't necessarily need to know about. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hi, it's Barb.
Barb, what's going on?
I have something that Frank does.
What's
when
excuse
people
me?
Stop at intersections and they don't have stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to stop at every intersection. Go back
you don't
to DMV
have a stop
school.
Sign. You
go
don't
back
stop.
To DMV school.
You're fucking bad nonsense. Stop sign, stopping click.
Oh, there
you're
you go.
Hey, Missy,
fuck
you're
you.
Supposed to come to a stop. Keep your mouth shut while I talk. You're supposed to come to a complete stop at each intersection, or at least slow down. Ken, please admit that I'm right.
Sin Fiction in the Heroes Talk chat room is vouching for Frank right now.
Thank you!
There it is. I don't know, Barb. I think it's still
you
a little fucking...
Have a stop sign.
You're supposed to
know.
Slow down, and there's a lot of times where people will go through stop signs, so it's
and
good to
stop.
Slow down.
You stop completely. You just completely stop, and then other people are at stop signs waiting for you to go through the intersection.
I'm with you on this, Barb. I'm with you, but I think the law might say that you do need to make a complete stop at an intersection.
Not when you don't have a stop sign.
What if you have a white line? What if there's a crosswalk?
Oh, this is so good. You are so faced You are so feeling awkward right now, Barb.
You,
I know.
No, I'm not. You don't stop when you don't have a stop sign, asshole.
Excuse me?
Yes. You don't stop when you have a stop sign.
316.
In the intersection, have a stop sign.
Okay, 316-768-4472. You're on with Barb and Germ Freak. Who's this?
It's Sink again. What the fuck? Barb is totally right. If there's no stop sign or,
excuse me?
Why are you just going to stop at an intersection? You keep fucking moving.
Excuse me, Sink. You said before that it's you should slow down at the intersection.
No, why? It's an intersection.
You're supposed to slow down at every intersection, whether or not you have a stop sign or not.
Thank you
Go
for calling,
Sink. Go get your DMV book.
Thank you for calling, Sink. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Barb and Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Chris from Best in Show
Chris,
Radio.
Chris, Best in Show. Bestinshowradio.com.
I love you so much, Frank, but you really have to understand that when you stop, when there is no sign or light telling you to do so, you are the problem.
Oh! Yes!
You are not being safer. You are creating more of a hazard. You are placing landmines in the middle of a roadway.
Yes!
Instead of being a part of moving traffic, you maniac.
Chris, do you come to do you at least slow down at intersections where there's no stop sign?
Well, no, of course not. I'm not a grandmother.
Oh, my God.
I'm an adult male that drives around and does what I got to do.
Chris, there have been times where people will run stop signs. It's best to be a cautious driver. You have to be a defensive driver.
But, Frank, you understand you're not being cautious by causing a hazard for other drivers. You're acting like a maniac. You're stopping where you're not supposed to. I went on like a good 20-minute tirade a couple of weeks ago about the fact that there's nothing in the world that makes me madder than people who stop when they're not supposed to. I'm sorry. I love you to death, but I hope that death comes if you keep up driving like this. I'm sorry.
You see that, Frank?
Have a great show.
Now people are saying that you should die because you're causing the problem. That's Chris from Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Sometimes Monday and Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m. on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. Keep it right here.
I'm a very cautious driver, and I'm not going to go through an intersection without at least slowing down. And if it means coming to a complete stop, then so be it.
I don't, did you hang up? Yeah, he did. Okay. Well, you're the problem, apparently, Frank. You are the problem. But now everybody goes and they call the taxi drivers the maniacs. But usually, how often do you see a taxi cab in an accident? You know?
Well, the what happened to Barb? Did she hang up?
She hung up.
Oh. What happened is I don't go in taxis very often, but I don't mind when I'm in a taxi. I don't mind if there's an accident.
When you're in the taxi, you don't
right.
You don't,
I don't mind.
Mind
I don't mind if the car crashes because it's not my car. The car, when you're in a taxi, you're usually not going more than 40 miles an hour, especially in New York.
What? You're out of your mind. Why would you ever want to be in a car accident? Why would you ever not mind being in a car accident?
It's not that I don't mind. I just, not that I want to get hurt, but when you're a passenger in a taxi, it's almost like you're in a demolition derby. And the cars are not, you're usually in the streets in New York City, they're not going more than 40 miles an hour. So you're really not going to get hurt. So I don't really care if the guy gets into an accident. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
Well, I hope that when you do get in the car accident, that you are alive enough to not be bothered by it. So that's an amazingly stupid thing to say. I'm just going to say it's an amazingly retarded thing to say. If I get an accident, I don't care. It's not my car. Okay, it's not your car, but you're fucking in it. The car that's also not yours has just fucking entered the passenger
seat. Sometimes, you know, it's fun to see how close this taxi driver can get to not getting into an accident also. How close can he come to driving past this particular automobile or passing this pedestrian, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, yeah, I understand that. But they know the dimensions of the car very, very well. I do not. That's why I'm not a very good driver in the city. I did drive for the first time this weekend. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Frank, why don't you set up our guest a little bit? I have to see if I can get them on. But who you said that we had a special guest calling in today?
Yeah, we had somebody who I don't know very well. I've only spoke to him once or twice. I'd like to get know a little more about him.
Yeah.
And
you gotta fucking extend a little more than this.
Excuse me?
You're doing a terrible job.
Well, I don't want to introduce the individual until he's on the phone.
Well, maybe he's on the phone.
All right, there he is. The one and only. This guy is so well known that he's known by simply the acronym MLC. Mafia Life Chris!
Mafia Life Chris here on the DJ New Style Show. What's going on, buddy?
Wow, I feel privileged. What's up, guys?
Oh, I don't know, man. What's up with you?
Nothing much. I've just got out of a fucking online meeting.
An online meeting.
What's up?
An online meeting?
Yeah, you prick bastards. You're talking at the same time. Will you shut up, Frank?
I apologize. Excuse me?
Wow, he's getting a little snippy.
Who are you talking to like that?
Frank, don't mess with him. He's a gangster.
Hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir. Yeah, I got out of an online meeting. I've just been trying to sell advertisements and, publishing shit for the games and so forth.
What game is this? Yeah. Tell us what – I want to know what you're all about, Matthew. Who are you? What is your deal? What is your fascination with the gangster whole scenario? Tell us about this game that you've invented. Tell us everything about it, please.
All right. I got three games now. To me, at this point, it's just about putting, mob content and products out for the mob enthusiast. It started just with the Mafia Life game. And, I used to play games like World of Warcraft, which is obviously top-notch, and, all those other games. And I always wanted to build a Mafia-type game of that nature. But, of course, it takes millions. So I started off with just the basic architecture and with a text-based role-playing social network, like a Facebook interface, where you can join up and be in the mob and so forth and so forth. They called it MafiaLife.com, and it took off.
It did.
Did you invent this game yourself?
I've played other games like it, so I did not invent the idea, but I did invent Mafia Life. Any other business. Anything that did not work for me, and anything that I didn't think would sell or be good or attractive to the market, I changed and made better, to my opinion, and then made it my own.
But now, what's the obsession with the mob? I understand you're involved with mob magazines. There's mob websites where people can make money. What's the why is it that everything is mob with you?
Well, I mean, everybody's got their own little niche, right? So, I mean, I grew up watching, movies. I liked the excitement that, it brought, the stories that I heard from family relatives and so forth. The same reason why any other mob enthusiast would like that type of stuff.
Now, you're...
The Sopranos, made it big for that reason alone.
That's true. They did. And you may have gotten in at a very profitable time for mob-based products. Does it have any influence that you are an Italian man?
I believe being around, being an Italian man, probably, and living in Brooklyn, probably kept me around the idea.
Do you ever exaggerate your accent?
No, in words? I never exaggerate my accent.
I see.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm talking to you like I would talk to anybody right
yes,
now.
Yes, of course.
But could you make it thicker if you wanted to? Could you like
Frank? I mean, God, we're just talking to the guy. You don't have to ask him about his dick.
I apologize.
He's bald homosexual.
No, but I'm saying, are you able to make your accent thicker if need be?
Yeah, the same way you can.
Yeah, everybody can. So this is something that
right.
we can
no,
do.
No need to get...
ability. I have the ability to exaggerate the accent.
Now,
and sometimes I may. I mean, it, you know.
True. I mean, you are a star of stage and screen now. I noticed that you did have a YouTube series of videos where you played the driver and also a mobster.
Yeah, we put out a couple videos from Mafia Mob TV to, you know, to get some stuff going.
Yeah.
And we plan on making a couple short movies and stuff. So, yeah, those were like little test runs / you know, pilots and little series just to get some buzz going.
My favorite part was when you told somebody to go out of the parking lot and don't make a right. You make a left because it was a one way. That was the best part of the driving directions. First, get out of the parking lot. Second, don't turn right. Turn left.
Right, and you get out and, like, you know, supposedly this girl just knocked on the door, but when I got out, I'm like, oh, is this your car? Like,
yeah.
I just picked a random car, like it's supposed to be us. How I would know that.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of things you could nitpick about. It was just for fun and games.
It's true.
And, you know, wasn't
Chris up for some type of an award?
Well, no. I mean, Chris, I didn't want to bring it up because you are coming off of a bit of a heartbreaking loss in what has been, I guess, called the biggest fucktard tournament. There's a message board called FTBFBA. And they elect people from the Ron and Fez ONA community as would-be fucktard candidates. And this year,
right,
you were defeated by a man named Bill from Cleveland, who is the fucktard of the year. Were you aware of this contest at all?
And I did that with like a quarter of the posts and activity that I did last year.
So you were in last year as well.
Yeah, just existing.
Okay.
In the community has taken me really high in that chart by the group of four people that like to call themselves the whole message board.
I mean, that's true. I mean, you and Bill from Cleveland was kind of a mirror of the UNC Michigan State game. However, the difference was that Michigan State in the fucktard tournament won. Bill from Cleveland came out of nowhere and took it and ran with it. And there's a bit of a thing that I've noticed with the winners of this is that they've gone away. Now, I don't necessarily I've spoken with Bill from Cleveland maybe once or twice. Don't really interact with the guy. But the other guys, Lee Mills, General Bam, they've gone away. They've been really reduced. Is there going to be any
correlation between the winning the fucktard tournament and basically being casted out by the so-called haters of the community?
Well, not necessarily.
This fucktard tournament has such power and energy that to win this thing is basically like the curse of all curses to the individual winning, but yet the blessing of all blessings to all those on the hater side.
I don't even know if it's that or if it's the fact that the person sees that they won this and they say, you know what, I don't need this shit. I don't need to have a golden trophy dick with my name on it this year, so I'm just not going to fucking bother. Maybe that's what
they do. I'm going to have to say there's a good chance, okay, that most likely it is the complete opposite.
Okay.
Like, the people who are running this contest really don't have that power, and that they would love to believe that they had any type of control like that. And anyone who is an individual really would take a shit on this contest or read it for the, you know, mediocre comedy value that it is for the 5 seconds, you know, that you get to read the forum. It really doesn't have that much power over me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe that it has a sort of a power, but it just seems interesting that they've gone away. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak and Mafia Life Chris. Who's this?
Hey, MLC. I have a question for you.
Who is this? Was the question.
I'm a Facebook addict, and I want to know how do I stop these mob requests that I get every day?
I don't know.
The reason why is I block them, but then next day I get like two more. I mean, does my family have to call your family and have a sit-down?
So wait, is this some? This is a Facebook application, I guess. Chris, do you understand? Do you know what this is?
I understand what it is. I don't own the Facebook applications.
Have you looked into creating a Facebook application version of Mafia Life?
I've been thinking about it, and I've been, you know, in touch with these guys, but they have so many, you know, you don't have control over the emails that sign up. You're not getting the asset. You're basically giving them the asset in response to hosting the application. So you got to hope that. I want people to sign up for the Mafia Life game outside of Facebook.
I understand that.
Create some kind of way to tie it in where they would play this application and then want to play the outside Mafia Life version.
Yeah.
I have no interest in it.
I actually heard an interesting figure with the I guess it's Mob Wars or something on Facebook about a few months ago they were making about $1 million a month. Just from sheer ads, people clicking on ads and buying mafia gifts on Facebook, $1 million a month. I'm sure it's cooled off, but I mean that's a pretty fucking startling accomplishment.
There is a commodity, you know, within the mob enthusiast community to, you know, especially with the social network. You break everything down to demographics. You're on there. You're a social networker, and you're on Facebook. So you're already doing a text-based game, and then you're a mafia addict. So all they really did was create a commodity for the guy who wants to shoot, and then you create like the bullet as the commodity, and then you either sell it to where people obviously don't want to buy for this shit, but then if you want and you get hooked, then you can fill out these surveys and ads, like a CPC or a CPA form or something, and make them money. While earning, you know, the user that fills it out gets the bullets, and the application owner gets the ad money.
This is fairly technical stuff. Have you seen all these competitors? I guess with Mafia Life, is there any jealousy to the fact that, you know, there's thousands of people using it on Facebook that could be using MafiaLife.com? And how do you take it and get them to do this?
Well, I don't really feel jealous at all. You know, it's like if I got a fucking bagel store and you got a bagel store down the block, I mean, I'm sure there's enough healthy, room for everybody.
Healthy competition. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ Newstyle Show with Mafia Life, Chris, and Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sin Fiction.
Sin Fiction, how are you, buddy?
Good. Hey, Chris, why don't you tell everybody about the time you left Frenchie for that fat chick on the internet?
Why?
So that was a funny story. I listened. Would love to hear that one.
Cool. You could probably search the archives of the Rod and Fez show to get that.
Thank you for calling, Sin.
Or just check the forums.
Yeah, I don't know that was something that that he wanted to get into.
Epic fail. And it, again, catered to the few people, you know.
Chris, why do people have a problem with you? You seem like a nice, genuine guy. Why do people have a problem with you?
You're just a businessman trying to cut your own niche, and you got a brand that you're trying to protect.
You know what? It's like the whole nobody likes self promotion, so. I'm a walking billboard. People don't like that shit. You know, I'm constantly plugging my websites. People don't like that shit. And, again, you can reach out to, I can be on this radio show, and there's maybe, 10% of your audience that's a mob enthusiast, and then 90% of the people are fucking laughing at it. I'm not talking to the 90%. I'm talking to the 10%.
You're trying to capitalize
wants
to on
play
the 10.
A game like Mafia Life, you know?
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, I it comes with the territory, you know, and I get it. You know, at some point, I've self-promote too much, and they don't like that on the forums, and they do their hater thing. That's Dan Mitch, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's true.
Chris, if you don't mind, you call yourself a mob enthusiast, a quote-unquote mob expert, if you will. I don't even going to say that you've even said that. But I'd just like to test your knowledge a little bit, if you would so entice me.
On so the you mafia. Want to test my knowledge on the mafia?
Yes.
Well, you, just, so you, know,
you have some mafia trivia or something?
Well, listen.
I enjoy that stuff.
Let's see how much you know. Just for shits.
All right, we have a quick quiz game. I guess who knows more about the mob? This is going to be something that I'll put on the demo, I think. So let's go ahead, Frank. Let's go do this.
Chris, what did Al Capone die from? Cancer, execution, syphilis, or gunshots?
I'd have to say Al Capone died from syphilis.
You are correct.
Syphilis indeed. Yes.
Mafia Life, Chris, dying. Who wrote The Godfather? Was it Mario Puzo?
Luca Come Pucci? On! What the fuck, Frank?
Excuse me?
Come on! What is it, the weapon that shoots bullets as held by Tony Soprano? Come on!
All right. I'm trying to make it easy. Chris, what New York City restaurant was Big Paul Castellano outside of when he was rubbed out? Was it Tavern on the Green, Beefsteak Charlie's, Spark Steakhouse, or Sardi's?
Or was it TGI Spark Fridays Steakhouse in Times Square? Did you say Sparks? Then you are correct.
Ken, did you want to read the questions here?
No, please. Go, feel free, Frank.
Okay, fuckface.
Excuse me?
I apologize. Okay. No, I don't. All right, so far you got two.
Wasn't he shot in front of Molly's Cupcakes?
I don't know if he was. I don't think it existed, actually.
Chris, listen to me, Chris. All right, this is fun and games here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
After the closure of the French Connection, what was the name of the operation set up to deliver heroin from Sicily to the United States? Was it called the Lemon Connection, the Pizza Connection, the Pasta Connection, or the Olive Oil Connection?
Or was it called the Bald Fuckface Trivia Failure Connection?
All right, let's
say it was the Olive Oil Connection, and I'm just guessing.
No, it was the Pizza Connection.
Ooh! He got you on that one. He got you on that one. Yes.
Damn it.
Well, do you have any more of these questions, Frank?
Did you want me to stop, Ken? Because I'll stop right now.
Let's do a couple more. Let's just do a couple more.
Don't shit all over everything.
I'll shit on you, motherfucker, and then I'll get my petty egg dust and throw it in your pizza.
Chris, have you ever seen the movie The Goodfellas?
Yes, sir.
Goodfellas.
Was that a question? Was that the trivia question?
I said yes, sir.
Goodfellas.
You got it right. He who did see it. Yes.
Chris, please answer the following question.
Did you see Casino?
Goodfellas. All right, let me know when you're done.
I have some mob trivia questions, Frank. I think I should take over a second. Mafia Life, Chris, have you ever tasted spaghetti sauce? This is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life, Frank. Continue, please.
Chris, Goodfellas anti-hero Henry Hill worked for what New York mafia family for most of his career? Was Lucchese, Colombo, Bonanno, or Genovese?
Shit.
Or Waldbaum.
Maybe it was Bonanno.
You are incorrect.
Oh, incorrect. Gotcha, too.
Wow.
He did. Got you, too. You know, you're a pistol. You're funny. Chris, no, you're real funny.
Yes, sir.
Who was the real-life Donnie Brasco? Was it John Davis, Vito Guadalupe, Joe Pistone, or Donald Brazonio?
Joe Pistone.
You are correct.
You're correct again. You're not going to stump him, Frank. He's a mafia expert.
Chris, this New York mob boss showed up in his 1996-1997 racketeering trial wearing pajamas. Was it Vincent Gigante, Joe Bonanno, Sammy Gravano, or John Gotti Jr.?
Or was it Michael Jordan?
It would be the chin Gigante.
Okay.
316-768-4472. You're on the DJ Newstyle Show.
I got a trivia question for you, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever read the magazine Mob Candy? From mobcandymag.com.
Frank doesn't know how to read. 316-768-4472. You're on with Mafia Life Chris and Germ Freak. Who's this?
Hey, this is Goatweed.
Goatweed, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Chris, how you doing? What's up, Dovey? How you doing?
Not bad. I got two questions for you. First, okay. isn't it true that there are actually more than four people on STV? And second, is it true that you were molested by your uncle and you enjoyed it? Go.
on what site? Four people on what?
FTB SBA?
Yes. There were more than four people. Yes.
Okay, you're correct on that one. There are more than four. And then you mentioned...
I was not molested by my uncle.
It was your friend?
You were not.
You said it was on Ron and Fez. I think you said something about your friend. Thanks for calling, Goatweed. Yeah, he told the story about your friend or something like that. But Frank, let's continue with your because this is truly the best part of tonight's show. The trivia, the mafia trivia, as dictated.
I'll end it right now. And we could play your.
Well, let's put it on hold a second. 316-768
Jimmy Francone Jack session.
4472 It's actually Jack Francone. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Mafia Life Chris and Germ Freak. Who's this? Thank you, Jeff. Your phone doesn't work, so you have to do it. That was Foundry Music, Jeff. He just wanted to say it.
I hear him breathing.
I could stay awake just to hear him breathing, but you know what? I couldn't hear him speak. So why don't you go ahead, Frank, and finish up a few questions.
Just a couple questions here, Chris, about your favorite movie, I would assume, is the Goodfellas of the probably the mafia there. Chris, finish this, please. Al Blank Capone, Al Papa Capone, Boozer Capone, the Scourge Capone, or Scarface Capone?
Scarface.
Yes.
Thank you. 316-768-4472. You're on with Mafia Life Chris and Germ Freak. Who's this?
When your show makes you snore, cause the guest is a bore, that's the Chris show.
Oh, is this Jeff?
When you can't get Johnny Depp and you have no show prep, that's the Chris show.
That you didn't have the rest of the verse, though. Like, you have to finish the song, Jeff. I don't know. Can we get rid of the trivia thing? Can we just erase that from our fucking minds?
Question.
That absolutely was the last question. Chris, I want to know, what is this mob, the one where you make the money?
Where you, Mafia Payday.
Mafia Payday. It's an interesting concept to me. Could you explain it, please?
Yep. Basically, I took what I like to call the best hooks out of all the mob games and made what I like to be an ultimate mob enthusiast game. It's free where you can make money. So
really?
It's free to join, and when you whack a don...
When I do what?
The, cash to, when you whack a don...
I'm not putting any of my own videos on this thing. I'll tell you right now. I have a private collection, but I won't be uploading video one on this fucking site. What is whack a don... I'm not going to be whacking my don on this fucking site. It's a masturbation joke, Chris.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. I get it. Oh, God.
Well, it looks like I can make a stout 324 right now. I guess you paid out. You paid out recently, so we're rebuilding the pot on MafiaPayday.com.
Yeah, since the game is free and we don't really curb the killing of the Don, so it's fair for everybody, including a new player, they usually don't even let the pot get above, you know, $20, $30 before somebody whacks the Don and it starts over again.
I could have
handed out over $2,000 already since, you know.
You should make an adult site called jerkoffpayday.com where people actually post videos of themselves not whacking a Don, but whacking off. And they win the pot. I don't know how they would win the pot, but if the pot is, $20, you post a jerk off video or maybe some cock pics, and then you get like $20 for it. You might want to create an adult branch of it, because
that wouldn't fall into the mob enthusiast category.
Well, now you're branching out.
Really dope.
Now you're branching out. Now you're porn life, Chris. Well, so it's MafiaPayday.com, and you can check them out in Mob Candy Magazine. Is that MobCandyMagazine.com or MobCandy.com?
It's MobCandyMag.com.
MobCandyMag.com. Chris, Thank you,
Chris,
very
thank
much.
You so much. You're a gentleman, and I don't know why people have a problem with you, but I think you're a nice guy.
And
thank
I didn't vote for you in the fucktard tournament, but you know, I don't want to. Do you say better luck next year? I mean, really?
Well, no,
with
no
that,
hard,
how does it
no
work?
Hard feelings, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta enjoy. Do what you gotta do. Enjoy yourself. That's what I do.
I voted for Bill from Cleveland. That's what I say.
Yeah, he's a much bigger fucktard than me.
I would say so, and as evidenced by the results. Thank you for calling
in,
buddy.
Thank you, Chris.
I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care, buddy. Mafia Life, Chris, go to MafiaPayday.com. We're going to take a quick break here on the DJ News Style Show. Are you okay, Frank?
Yeah.
Do you have any more Mafia questions you can ask me? Because I don't know. Ken, how do you spell Mafia?
I was starting off easy.
And you ended with Scarface. All right.
You know what?
It's the
go,
DJ.
Go play your fucking Jack Francone Jack Sessions.
Oh, I'll play something really good and hacky.
Fucking asshole.
Coming up on the break, Germ Freak Radio. We'll be right back on the DJ New Style Show.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay. That's so fucking corny. I'm embarrassed I even said that. All right, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh. Okay. Is it okay now, Krabby?
Dude, I've got a lot of shit to get done.
All right, dude, but...
Would you listen, would you calm down and just do what you gotta do, for Christ's sakes?
I apologize. You ready?
Yes.
The following song has been used as an anthem for Arnold Schwarzenegger during a successful bid as governor of New York. The following song has been utilized by Arnold Schwarzenegger during his successful bid for governor as his anthem. It's been used at sporting events, other political rallies, protests, television commercials. This band was rated number 47. Oh, shit. All right. I'm not going to curse tonight because I'm not in the mood. I'm going to get this right. I'm not in a mood to act stupid. All right. The following song has been used as an anthem for Arnold Schwarzenegger's successful bid as governor of California. It's also been used in sporting events, political rallies, protests, and numerous television commercials throughout the years. This group was named...
Germ, what's going on with you?
Just chill out.
Hey, don't tell me to chill out, dude.
You
all right, I got a lot going on. I got a lot going on.
Shut the fuck up.
I got a lot going on, goddammit.
You obviously got a crib. You obviously... What? What? What's it? All right, give me 10 minutes. I'm working here, okay? Listen to me. I will be up there. Stop it!
Calm your kid down! For God's sakes, I don't need this today!
I'll be up there in a minute. Go. The following song has been used as an anthem in Arnold Schwarzenegger's successful bid for governor of California. It's been utilized in sporting events, political rallies, protests, and other television commercials. VH1 named this band... Alright. The following song was used as an anthem for Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid...
Who's in there with you? Come on! Come on, dude! Jesus!
Alright, we gotta do this one quick because my kid's waiting for me. The following song has been used as an anthem in an Arnold Schwarzenegger successful bid for governor. It's been used in sporting events, political rallies, protests, and television commercials. This song was rated number 47 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 80s. Is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? It's Twisted Sister. With We're Not Gonna Take It.
Just The DJ New Style Show.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Tomorrow night, we've got the Awful Hour on at 9. That's Wednesday night, for those of you who don't know. Thursday night, Best in Show. It's bestinshowradio.com, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Frank, how are you?
Hey.
You coming down from that high? That nice feeling you got thinking about your Italian roots.
Yeah.
Partying, getting down to a little Twisted Sister on the break. Mm-hmm. Rocking out. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, nothing more than a fucking guttural sound from you.
I thought you were going to fade that song out. That was the complete opposite of fading out. That was an abrupt stop.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank.
Apparently you don't know what fade means. Fade means to reduce slowly.
You have different audio settings than the listeners of the show. I just want to clue you into that, just so you can stop pretending like the world is fucking coming down all around you.
I apologize.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for apologizing, Frank. Did you do anything fun this weekend? Because I know I did. I did, buddy boy. Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah? What'd you do?
We had a little bit of a bachelor party for our buddy Sobers, who's getting married. Sobers has decided to take a wife. A wonderful young lady, and it was time for his bachelor party, and it was in the city. It was my first time driving into the city, in and around. I'm usually like a guy that just drives to Hoboken or Jersey City, takes the path, and I'm able to just handle anything from there. You're not that type of person, from what I've amassed, from all the information I've come across. You're not that type of guy that can be comfortable on the path.
No, I prefer to drive in.
Why?
It's less confusing, I don't like the hassle of waiting in line at those vending machines for the tickets.
The 30 seconds you may spend touching a screen is what will take you from put you in the situation where, okay, I have to find somewhere to park, and then I have to walk or get a cab wherever I'm going. I have to go
it's
over bridges.
Confusing.
I have to get the fucking tunnel traffic. I have to do all this. You're willing to do that rather than touch a screen.
Well, because when you're at those
for 30 seconds.
When you're at those ticket vending machines, there's people behind you, and it makes you very nervous, and you feel that you have to rush when you get the ticket.
You don't. Just take your time. Go right in. It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. We start off the evening at a nice steak place, Del Frisco's. It may be the biggest tourist trap ever. I don't know.
I never heard of it.
I'm a tourist. Whatever. I'm from fucking New Jersey. So yo, bridge and tunnel, motherfucker. Yo, all these fuck. It's a big bridge and tunnel crowd. Who gives a shit? I'm bridge and tunnel. I ate there, and it was delicious. I really enjoyed it. And you've never been there ever?
No.
I think it's a place you might want to take your wife on an anniversary.
Is it moderately priced?
It's a little bit expensive. I mean, you compare it to steakhouses, it's a little bit
you
up there.
You get big portions is what I want to know.
You'll leave there satisfied, I'll say. You'll leave there satisfied. You should take the wife out there. Donna's probably listening right now, beaming, but she'll ultimately be let down because you wouldn't go there. You wouldn't go there, would you?
I'm thinking about taking my wife to a Broadway play.
Really? You are? Well,
yeah.
Then that's perfect because then you can go there and then go to this place and have a nice steak in New York.
I think I'm going to do it.
Really? Okay, because when we were talking about this, you told me that I would never go to New York for a steak. There's plenty of fine steaks in New Jersey. That's what you
Ken,
said.
Ken, you really
like
think
fucking...
I'm going to fucking go get a steak? First of all, we have a delicious Outback Steakhouse here in New Jersey not too far from me. You can't beat an Outback Steakhouse steak.
Outback Steakhouse, interesting note. First place me and Amanda went on a date. Thank you. But the thing is, Frank, it's a shitty steak. It's a shitty steak.
Okay. And we also have a delicious place called Arthur's Tavern.
Not bad. Not bad, but not that great. Not that great. And you're already in Hoboken at that point. So why don't you just fucking take the path in?
Have you ever been to Ruth Chris's Steakhouse?
I have been to Ruth's Chris. I didn't really care for it.
Oh.
It's, whatever. Oh, the fucking plate sizzles. Who cares? Big fucking gimmick for a hotel fucking steak place. No good. Not my favorite place. People love it. People sing the praises of it. I don't think it's that good.
Did you have to carpool anybody to the New York, or just drove yourself?
It was the four of us. Little Jimmy Rhodes, Shawnee Murphy, Sobers, and myself. Well, we spent the night there.
Yeah, I know, but you were the designated driver to New York.
We weren't fucking drinking in the car, you dope. We did the drinking in the city, so I wasn't a designated driver.
I'm just saying, you were the designated
driver. You don't understand
driver.
The fucking
did I
definition.
Say you were drinking?
Fuck you! So we went there, and it was a good time. A good steak, and then we went over to a place called Rick's Cabaret, which is basically a fucking strip club. Now, why are there all these fucking euphemisms attached to strip clubs? Like, you've heard them, the cabaret or gentleman's club or social club. Are people that afraid to just say, you know, there are tits here, there are nude people, nude women that you can fucking see and pay, you know, give money to and be disgusted by or be turned on by? Is it that fucking terrible? I mean, whenever you tell anybody, you never say, oh, I went to the cabaret with a few buddies of mine. We ate steak
more classier name rather than a sleaze bar like Frank's Chicken House in Manville, New Jersey.
Oh, man. That is probably the worst. The worst. The Chicken House.
Frank's Chicken House is the worst of the worst.
The strip club, Rick's Cabaret, it was an educational experience. There was an African-American woman who was working there as a stripper who alerted me to the existence of a new phrase on the streets of Newark that may not be new. It's new to me. Buck 50. Have you ever heard of Buck 50, Frank?
I've never heard of that, no.
I don't exactly know how the fuck this came up, but she was basically explaining that when you get cut on your face, that's Buck 50. North Newark, you go out there, you get Buck 50. And she kept saying this to me. And then she would ask the people if they would like a dance. No, I don't. Sorry. Thanks, lady who just told me that I could get my white face cut open in a black town. I won't be having a dance. I appreciate it. That's Buck 50! And then later on, the interactions with the strippers were amazing because they try to talk to you and they just really think that they have, you know, all the power in the world over you to the point where you're going to give them whatever they want. For example, we got a bottle of vodka, you know, so we could just split it amongst ourselves. We were in a private area and we were having a decent time talking and just relaxing, drinking and whatever. And this one stripper, also an African-American woman, came over and said, can I drink from your bottle? Can I drink from your bottle? Excuse me? No, I already have a drink. Thanks. I said, no, can I drink from your bottle? I said, no, I'm good. I have a drink. Shawnee Murphy, are you good? Do you have a drink? He's like, I'm so good. I have a drink. And she was so just, you know, completely befuddled. We were pretending we were more drunk than we were. She just fucking left. And they would talk your fucking ear off. Oh, I'm from Brazil. I'm from the Ukraine. And anytime a Russian woman would come by, I would just... like, oh, Ukraine, Ronald Reagan, shake my fucking fist at her, and then say, like, Perestroika or whatever, Privet or something. I don't even know. I think even Nikolai Volkov was mentioned that wonderful evening. It was pretty good, though.
The
night ended early, though, I have to say.
Yes.
The night did end about 1:15 a.m. after the groom-to-be decided it would be a brilliant idea to fill the glass entirely up with vodka and drank it in a few seconds. So he drank it, and then he was basically passed out on the couch, wherever he was. 1:15, we decided we have to leave, and we're not even a step out of the place when three fucking pie plate-sized piles of puke hit the fucking the sidewalk by Sobers, the groom-to-be. And as soon as the puke hits the air... the guy in front of Rick's cabaret goes, you gotta go around the corner! Go around the corner! So he's running, his puke is just pouring from his mouth. And he gets it on his shoes. I got it on my shoes! I don't give a shit you got on your shoes! Get around the corner! yelling. It was an amazing evening.
Now, how many rooms did you guys get?
We had two rooms.
Okay. So there was no sleeping in the same bed.
No, there was not. The thing is, I had a fucking pull-out couch with no sheets, which was awesome. Ooh. Freezing what? Cold on the bare mattress of a pull-out couch just the little... they have a very thin Afghan they put at the end of the hotel bed. That's all I had to cover myself.
What did you sleep in? Your underwears?
Yeah, I was in my underwears.
So you were in your underwears with your underwears on the plain mattress with no covering.
The bare mattress.
Wow.
And I was using a throw pillow as my pillow. I had no fucking pillow. It was like a homeless man that lucked out and found a couch that folded.
It wasn't a good night's sleep, was it?
It wasn't bad. My stomach was kind of rough because we did a bunch of shots. You might have
can't handle your liquor.
You might have liked the shot. I didn't puke. I'm the only one that did not. One of two that didn't puke. Shawnee Murphy didn't.
I never puke when I drink either.
We banged on their door and Jimmy Rhodes opened it up and he's asleep on the bathroom floor. Immediately he just collapses on the bathroom floor. He had been sleeping next to the toilet because he expected to vomit any second then. But when you woke up, the hotel, what do you typically expect for a breakfast at a hotel?
Maybe like a continental breakfast, maybe like a croissant. And
you get
coffee.
Like maybe a croissant.
Yeah,
croissant. Muffin, some coffee. We get in there, they have the usual continental breakfast. And they have the hot buffet. And it's all included.
Oh, that's heavy.
In the world. The thing
a
is,
nice,
yeah, go ahead.
A nice breakfast buffet is just heaven.
It really is. You know what? It really is. When you can take the scrambled eggs, the salsa, the potatoes, the peppers, everything, just mix it up into a nice breakfast pile, and then eat that. The thing is, my stomach was not really all that good, so I had a few bites of it and just threw the whole thing out in front of some. In front of some migrant worker that was kind of a little bit disgusted that I was wasting so much food. But I took a coffee cup and a muffin back, and then we were on.
What
our
kind
way.
Of muffin was it?
It was a corn muffin, Frank. And it was and one thing I don't get, and maybe I could see it in the continental breakfast, but when you have muffins and you have croissants and all kinds of biscuits and stuff, who's getting the fucking cereal? Do you really have that much of a fucking hankering?
I don't understand these idiots who go to a diner and get fucking miniaturized cereals.
And they all have the display of all the little boxes.
Yeah, they sit there and they display it like it's a fucking trophy. They're putting their fucking variety-sized packages of cereal on the
just
fucking
young
shelf
motherfucking
like it's a goddamn trophy.
Packs. Sorry, it's got a little Warren G in my head. But yeah, let me get the Frosted Flakes. Or let me. It's either Frosted Flakes, plain Corn Cheerios, Flakes. Or Corn Flakes. It's like there's one sweet variety.
Right.
And you have to make sure they have it if you're looking for sweet. Otherwise, you're fucked.
It's usually typically the Fruit Loops is usually the sweet variety.
That's true.
I don't know why people are ordering cereal at a restaurant or a diner. I don't understand it. When you go to a restaurant, you should order something that you don't, you know, is not.
Something that is at least takes a little bit of work.
Exactly.
Something that's
exactly.
a pain in the ass to make. Like, what are some other things that you think nobody should ever go ahead and order at a diner?
I don't think you should order a peanut butter and jelly at a diner.
If you order a fucking anywhere, I think it's the trendy thing to do to have a peanut butter and fucking jelly sandwich at your local Cozy or fucking Panera or whatever sandwich shop. That is just a fucking chain that you can go to anywhere. It's fucking, and it's like $6. Okay,
wait,
I'm gonna pay
you say
$6.
It's trendy?
It is a little bit trendy. They're more
eating peanut butter and jelly is trendy nowadays.
Not eating, but offering it as a menu item is becoming more and more prevalent at all these fucking sandwich shops. Now even like the typical deli where you'd get an Italian sub has a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, I understand you're gonna have kids there, but. You know, can't you fucking make your kid a goddamn peanut butter and jelly sandwich? It was literally the fastest sandwich to make ever. Ever.
Did you...
Goatweed in the Heroes Talk chat room says, adults ordering PB&J should be beaten with an aluminum bat. And I agree.
Let me ask you your procedure for making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Do you put the jelly
on
one side...
Peanut butter and jelly what?
jelly sandwich. Oh. Do you put the peanut butter on one slice of bread and the jelly on another slice of bread, or you put the peanut butter and the jelly on the same slice of bread?
You got to put them on separate sides.
I see.
I don't understand how you would put them on the same side. Would you go half peanut butter, half jelly? And then dry? And then dry on the other one? Or do you, are you suggesting that I put my peanut butter on and then spread jelly over the peanut butter?
Exactly.
What kind of a fucking mess would that make? That's like trying to wipe your ass with shit. It's just going to get everywhere.
It's kind of a odd
it's
way to
not
say
good,
it.
Is what I'm saying. You have two slices of bread and two
do
ingredients.
Do you prefer creamy or peanut or crunchy?
I prefer a creamy peanut butter. I'm not going to lie. And the only jelly that I'll use is grape. Don't come to me with a fucking marmalade or a fucking strawberry jelly for a peanut butter and jelly.
See, I prefer jam over jelly because jam is blobbier and it's more of a mess. Jam is smooth.
No, you think jelly is blobbier?
Yeah, I'm sorry, jelly. Yeah. Jam is smooth.
But the thing is, you never order it at a deli or a diner or anything. Even if they decide they're going to make it the triple decker. You could do that yourself. It's not that fucking fancy.
But do you like different, other than peanut butter and jelly, do you like different jams and jellies, as like orange marmalade? I'm open to them.
I'm open to them, but if you tell me peanut butter and jelly, I picture grape jelly. What are some other things that people should never order at a diner?
A hot dog.
You never see people order a hot dog at a diner.
I've never seen a person order a hot dog at a diner.
I've never
seen a hot dog on the menu.
I have. I actually have. And it, I looked at it and I'm thinking, who would fucking get a hot dog here? It can't be good. It just fucking can't be good.
The only thing is,
the hot dog, in an Italian hot dog cut up with potatoes and peppers, that would be pretty good.
Right. That's one of my favorites of all time.
However, but just listen, a fucking hot dog in a bun.
Please explain
hideous.
To me your hot dog procedure. Do you like
Why is everything a fucking procedure?
Do you like crowd on your dog?
Sometimes I do. From time to time, I like crowd.
Okay.
If I'm making it myself, I just put mustard on because it's the easiest thing. I'm making it myself. Obviously, I've decided that I need to use some of my time. I need to use as little time as possible.
Okay. I like mustard only when it's grilled. If it's boiled, you got to have the sauerkraut. You got to have sauerkraut on a boiled hot dog.
Do you ever dare to put ketchup on a hot dog?
On very, 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 very rare occasion.
Believe me, never. Never. Ketchup is like fucking candy on a goddamn hot dog, and it's terrible. It's fucking awful. Another, I think something that you shouldn't get at a diner, you know, where it's like in and out, you get your food. You don't order fucking steak. You don't get fucking platters. You don't get like fucking salmon at a goddamn diner. Don't get these fucking meals and come to me saying, well, this is like fucking world class steak. No one even knows. Yeah, no one knows because no one gets fucking steak at a goddamn diner. Have you ever done this?
Yes.
You do.
I got filet mignon.
Oh my God. What the fuck compels you to get a filet mignon?
Because it's
the worst cut of meat.
You only got to pay $12.95 for filet mignon dinner. Usually you go somewhere else. It's more than that.
Because it's a better cut of meat. Now, the filet is a terrible cut to begin with.
The filet mignon is the best cut of meat there is.
It's the worst cut of meat because there's no marbling. It's and we've done this before. We've done this and you can't be convinced. It's a fucking hockey puck. It's a fucking hockey puck
that sometimes
bleeds. Fucking terrible. And fish, you don't even eat seafood.
I don't eat seafood.
But would you ever trust the quality of fish coming into a diner? Would you ever?
You know, Ken, you could say these expensive restaurants are more clean, but you don't know for a fact. They could be just as dirty.
They could be just as dirty, but I guarantee you they're more likely to have fucking fresh shit brought in every day than fucking Papa Nicolopoulos' fucking mirrored ceiling diner in fucking Totowa, New Jersey, or wherever the fuck it is. There's no way they're getting fresh fucking fish every fucking week, even. They get some shit in, and they're like, hey, it doesn't smell too bad yet. Put it on the plate.
Put some paprika on it. It'll smell better.
I don't even know what accents we just did. We did the worst.
I think I was doing the insult dog, whatever his name is.
Yeah. What else? What are some other things that you won't get at a diner? I know you've yelled at me for getting breakfast.
Yeah, you always get breakfast at a diner, and it just makes it very awkward for the person who's eating a meal. You know,
what the fuck? How is it that anything I do should be fucking make you awkward?
Well,
if I'm ordering fucking eggs, what concern is it?
Because
of yours?
You know, when I'm ordering a dinner and you're ordering, I think I had ordered chicken franchise one time or something, and you ordered, this is how Ken says it, 2 eggs over medium. Home fries and wheat toast.
I say it all because I want it out there. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
Found your music, Jeff.
Jeff, how you doing? Jeff is the host, or one of the hosts of The What Show.
Or was out. The host. Of the
I don't
show.
Know. We'll see.
But I don't
you,
know.
You can currently go to thewhatshow.com and download shows. I'll just say that. Sure. What's going on, Jeff?
Frank, I'm with you 100%. I hate people who eat breakfast at diners unless it's breakfast time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the only place you can fucking do it.
There are certain kinds of food, and that's it.
But the diner is everything. The diner is everything any time of the day. It's a fucking diner. That's the beauty of it.
So does my fucking garbage.
So, Ken, do you eat steak in the fucking morning? And then, you know, what's the deal?
Steak and eggs? Fuck face? You want to rethink that choice?
I think what about you know what I'm talking about? A hamburger.
Leftovers, sure.
Don't be a fucking smart ass.
No, I'll eat breakfast items in the morning. Hey, but the thing is, sometimes I just crave a fucking egg. Is that okay?
Jeff, are you still there?
I'll go out with my friends like 11 o'clock or midnight, and they'll order pancakes or an omelet, and I'll stare at them like they have three eyes, and I'm like, what are you doing? This is not breakfast time.
Yeah, why is that when people at night, they have to order breakfast at fucking 11 o'clock at night?
It's a very comforting thing. You've done damage to your stomach. Now you're putting syrup-laden egg-soaked bread right in it just to sop everything up. Some nice French toast, some fucking sausage slices.
Can you explain to me what the term comfort food means?
It makes you... You don't know what comfort food is?
I want to know what that means.
Frank, I can't believe you of all people should know what comfort food is. You are a fan of comfort food. Comfort food is a food that you eat and it makes you feel nice.
But isn't that all food?
Maybe to you. I don't fucking know.
What food do you eat that doesn't make you feel nice? I don't. Then why eat it in the first place?
There's a food that makes.
I think he's talking about like some of the more exotic fare. Like you wouldn't think like sushi is comfort food.
No, but it's good, and I get into moods of having some white tuna. I want to have some fucking octopus, but I'm not gonna just sit down with a big fucking casserole dish of raw octopus and fucking white tuna and just fucking eat it while I'm watching Price is Right.
Oh, I did that today.
Jeff, how do you like your eggs, Jeff?
Your what?
I wish I was kidding. I did.
Oh. How do you like your what, Frank? I didn't hear what you said.
How do you like your eggs, Jeffrey?
Eggs. How do you like your eggs?
I like my eggs poached. I also like them sunny side up.
I see.
Boring.
Okay, isn't it kind of like wearing like a tuxedo to a movie? Like there's just this certain things for certain times.
Exactly. Ken obviously
don't call it
that.
A fucking question of class. There's one place that you can get fucking breakfast all the time. It's the fucking diner. It's allowed and encouraged.
Things are appropriate for certain times of the day. That's why everyone. If you were to ask someone, for example, like on the street, like you know, what is an omelet? What time of the day do they? It will be universally response would be breakfast food.
Well, absolutely, right? Because it is breakfast. So breakfast is usually associated with the morning. Frank, I have a related question.
People go to diners at like 8, 9 p.m. or even dinner time, 5, 6 p.m. and still order breakfast.
Yeah, Steve the LARPer has been trying to call, and I missed his shit. But he's saying that is the fucking point. You can get breakfast 24/7 at a diner. Now, Frank, how do you feel when people bring their dogs to stores? You don't like it, correct?
Right.
Jeff, why are you bringing your dogs to stores?
Well,
there's a place for your animals.
But it is
appropriate to bring your dog to a Petco. That is the only store in which you can bring your dog unless you are visually handicapped.
There are others.
And
there are others.
And no one will give you shit.
You can bring them to Home Depot. That is a pet-friendly place. You can bring them. Yes, you can. And the thing is,
I don't believe that's true.
It is true. But the thing is, Jeff, the thing is, that is a place where it is allowed and accepted. The diner is where it's allowed and accepted to have breakfast any fucking time. So either you give up your dog and I'll give up my eggs, or we keep what we like.
There's an additional subset of appropriateness. Not just locale, but also time of day.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe if you went to Petco when they were closed with your fucking dog, it might be a little bit odd.
But, exactly, thank you.
But, the diner is open. They say, come here, my friend. Take my water, it tastes like shit. Play maybe a song in this jukebox.
Jeff,
risk your life eating this ketchup.
Jeff, do you order, like, at a diner, do you only order, like, sandwich food, or would you order, like, chicken franchise or something at a diner?
Well, I've ordered a lobster dinner at a diner before.
See? Ken, what's your problem, Ken? See? This guy knows how to dine.
I don't even know what you're just saying right now. That's fucking hideous. Would you ever get a
steak? Fish, yeah.
Yeah, but let me ask you something.
I'm not a little overboard.
Would you ever get a steak at a diner?
Mm-hmm.
You
most definitely.
Wait, were you just eating something when I asked you this?
No, I was taking a drag of my cigarette, sorry.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's hideous.
Listen, there are some diners, for example, in East Windsor, New Jersey, there is the Americana Diner. I highly recommend anyone who lives in East Windsor to go check it out on Route 130.
One of the best diners
I've
Jersey.
Ever been to in my life.
Okay. But the thing is, like, I would still go there.
It's as gourmet a place that you would find in on any street in New York City. It's really high end stuff. But you know, sometimes you get like the schlocky Greek diner that's just served garbage. So you have to watch out.
Well,
it really all depends on the place.
I guess we have to agree to disagree, Jeff. Is there going to be?
No, you could just say I'm right.
I won't. So that's why we have to agree. Will there be a new episode of the What Show this week?
Tell us about the future of the What Show. What's going on with this whole scenario now?
Well, we taped our XM show last Thursday. I thought it went swimmingly.
I think it went very well.
Really?
I thought
Pat got a little inebriated, and I barked at him a little.
You mean Pat?
I feel a little bad about that.
Irish Alki got drunk? No
really?
Way.
I wouldn't have spivected it.
Spivected it. Awesome. Fucking trident-tongued fuck. Okay, so what's going on with the What Show, Jeff?
We took Friday off, last Friday off to cool down.
Cool down? What do you mean? Why'd you cool down? What'd you cool down from?
Frank, listen. He just said that they got in an argument over Pat being drunk. You fucking disinterested fuck. Jeff, please.
Hey, fuckface! I knew that, but I'm trying to stretch the conversation!
Okay. All right. Let's hear it now. Last Friday, no show. Cool down. What's the story?
Yeah, what's the story?
Coming back this week, going to discuss what happened last Thursday.
Because you posted something on ronfez.net
where
you alluded to the fact that it may be the last Watch Show. Isn't that correct?
I was a little heated at the time, Frank. I was very emotional, and I've calmed down a bit over the last couple of days, and, I think I can move on.
I think this is going to be their No More Tours episode.
I think Frank's going to be a good show. We're going to go into it a little bit and then just move on. And, hopefully something will happen, from Sunday's broadcast. And
like what?
Maybe we'll
like
get a
what?
Call sometime in the near future. I highly doubt it, though.
Well, all right. This Friday, 10:30 to 1:30 a.m. The What Show. Go to thewhatshow.com. Download everything they've ever put together. Look at that video of Jeff laying naked on his couch with fucking Wamu and Pronto.
Yes.
Marvel at it. Look at the tag left on the page by Stargazer.
Hey, Jeff, do you have the video on there when you were in the towel, in the cowboy hat?
Frank,
yes, Frank, I know it's your favorite.
It is. It really is. You know, and you know what the part is?
You get to see a split second of my, I believe you call it Ding Dong.
Yes. Right. Frank paused it there. He knows exactly the frame count. He's analyzed this more than the Warren Commission analyzed the fucking Zapruder film. So, amazing.
All right.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate the call.
Cap on this bottle.
But I'm right.
Great show, guys. Great guest tonight.
Thank you, Jeff. But I'm right. And there's no answer back from
Jeff. Oh, you sucked him.
Breakfast at Night is a delight, is what I say.
I think we should put a cap on the bottle for this one.
I have a DVD recommendation, Frank, if I may.
Go ahead.
I have a DVD recommendation before we end this episode of the DJ New Style Show. Those of you with Netflix subscriptions, those of you who live next to dollar stores, those of you who can go on Amazon.com, you need to own, rent, or come into the possession of a movie called City Dragon, starring MC Kung Fu. City Dragon. You need to watch this movie. It is required viewing for upcoming episodes of the DJ New Style Show. More on that.
Wow. Was that a teaser?
More on that in the future, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I think we've had our first teaser.
I think we have. Thank you for calling Mafia Life Chris, VA Messenger, Jeff.
Sin Fiction,
Sink, Goatweed, everybody else who called. I appreciate it. Ed, Barb, thank you. DJNewStyleShow.com, HearUsTalk.com. Download everything we've ever done. Listen to everything we ever do. I appreciate it. Frank, do you have anything you want to say?
But this is us. Yeah, no. Shut up. Hey, Ken, is there anything that you would like to say?
Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Ricola! Ricola!
Good night, ladies and gentlemen!
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!